So did you hear that Eversource has its electric rates going up early 2026? I want to say this would be expected because they adjust their prices every 6 months, but it sort of feels like, can we really take another hit with everything else that's going on in the world? So anytime we talk about what's going on with electricity, Pura, Eversource UI, whatever, you know, whatever has to do with our energy, I should say, in Connecticut, we have on the show Bryson Hull, who is the Deputy Northeast Director for Consumer Energy Alliance, back in studio. Hey, Bryson, how are you?
Well, it's good to be back with my favorite Connecticut journalist.
Oh, geez. I think you have to say that because I'm sitting in front of you, but I appreciate it.
Not true. You know I tell the truth.
That's true. And that's what I appreciate about you, Bryson. I mean, were you shocked at all? Your face doesn't look like you were shocked at all with Eversource and their news of increasing prices.
No, you made a great point. Every 6 months, the utilities in the state are required by the Public Utilities Regulatory Authority and the law to go out and find the supply, right? The supply is, you know, they go to generators, they ask for it. Here it is. This is the cost. They go back to Pura. Pura says, yep, that's it. They don't make a single cent on that. That's a strict pass-through cost. So what's the favorite game of politicians when they're in trouble? Kick somebody else, blame somebody else. So it's easy to go, hey, look, utilities, Mr. Burns, they're the bad ones. That's what we get all the time, and it's not their fault. It's literally a pass-through.
Okay.
So this is pretty normal. You know, gas markets are what gas markets are. Generating markets are what generating markets are. So that's the cost, and you're going to hear the standard chorus. So be a good consumer of information in what you hear and expect that anytime prices go up. And not for nothing, no disincentive for the politicians to say otherwise. We saw in this last off-year election in a couple of states, Virginia, New Jersey, Mickey Sherrill won, governor, by saying, oh, energy prices are terrible, and we're going to cap energy prices, which has never worked ever anywhere. Try Venezuela.
I'm glad that you brought that up. I was wondering if that's even a plausible thing to pitch. I mean, it's a great campaign slogan, certainly.
Bingo.
But is that really plausible?
No.
You can't cap. That's just not possible.
Well, it's not possible. I mean, first of all, we have a legal system that's going to say otherwise. This is not Venezuela. And do you want Venezuela results anyway? Or third world socialist country results? There are some chatter that our good governor here was considering that until wiser minds told him, don't think about it. Because it played well politically. Because energy is fundamentally a part of affordability, right? If you look at inflation statistics, what do they get rid of? Food and energy, if they want to smooth it out and say, oh, everything's cool. Nope. Those are the two fundamentals. And even energy goes into food. We just put out a report, like what the cost is. So for every two bucks that gas or diesel goes up, Consumer Energy Alliance put out a report that says family farms would be paying between $15,000 to $30,000 more. These are farms that make 50 grand a year off the farm income. So it's all there. And affordability is going to be the issue in the next election. So whoever messages right politically, that doesn't mean the truth. Whoever messages correctly, my mother would kill me if I talked like that, is going to win. And we've seen some of this. Some of this, I think, was just, hey, we don't like the incumbents. Prices are high. The hell with you. That's pretty American.
Mm.
But I think this is going to be a huge issue. And you're starting to hear it from the Democrats have found an issue that works for them, which is, hey, data centers cost a lot of money. They're sucking up our power. We're not going to pay for that. That was Abigail Spanberger talking that way. Not for nothing. Again, Virginia, highest concentration of data centers in the country. So these are things we're going to see and see and see. And what I'm looking for here in Connecticut is people being sensible. And unfortunately, I feel like sometimes our elected leaders are not as educated on these issues as they should be.
Mm. But you and I had talked the last time you came in studio, Bryson, about Pura. And the new, I'd say, well, they're interim right now.
Correct.
They're probably going to get confirmed, though. There's really no reason. Now, I've even heard from both sides of the aisle who have said, you know, yeah, they seem like reputable people that should be serving on Pura, and that's great. But, I mean, even Pura is a small body of people making major, major decisions on not just electric, but also talking about, you know, like water. That's happening today, you know?
Yeah. Apparently that sale's going through today, Aquarian, from what
you
I
think
hear.
It is going to go through?
I think so, yeah. I mean, unless there's a lawsuit, yeah. For all I know, it's going to go through. And, you know, that's a whole separate kettle of fish, that thing. But, I mean, they're making these decisions. Pura's making these decisions. They're over all our utilities. In addition, thanks to that $1 billion we call the public benefits charge, they're running all these programs. And people forget, like, that's what Marissa Gillette did before she was here. She was not a regulator. A regulator is like, here's your rate case. Here's my decision. Administrative law judge, okay, is the analog for that. Then she comes in and does all this other stuff that's really what she used to do, which is let's run the wind and solar program or the EV program or this or that. That's a separate thing. That's policy. That's implementation of policy. So you have the two things mixed up in Pura, and that's led to a bad result for Connecticut folks. high prices.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, Bryson, because when we talk about the public benefits, I had actually asked the attorney general about this because he's been, you know, very upset with how much the prices have gone up. He thinks it's not okay, and Connecticut residents just can't afford it anymore. And I said, well, if you agree with the GOP, it seems like, and really focusing on this, do you think we should get rid of public benefits? And he completely flipped a dime. Immediately. I don't love when I hear the Republicans talk about this. People don't understand the need for this. And I to me, it was, I don't want to say it was sort of mansplaining, but it was a bit of that going on, honestly, in the conversation. And I had to kind of take a step back and go, okay, with the programs that are being funded by public benefits, I'm wondering why everyone doesn't have to pay for this. Why just Eversource and UI customers? And it went off the rails, essentially. And I didn't know if you feel like, you know, it's interesting. We just had a special session last week and we're looking at affordable housing when in reality, it depends on which side of the aisle you're on. But one side is saying, let's look at how unaffordable Connecticut is, not just affording rent, but things like your electricity, things like your water, things like your groceries. I mean, and we're not really hitting that.
I know I said it before, but our Economic Development Commissioner, Dan O'Keefe, has said it. Energy prices in Connecticut are an existential threat. This is a realist. This is a person who's made a ton of money investing in reality. This whole, we need public benefits charges, is that's political. And honestly, the attorney general ought to be furious. And I think there was a mistake in the Republicans accusing his deputy attorney general of like doing some wrongdoing in this trial with PURA. But like, he should be furious that he has to, by law, defend an agency that basically is clearly has been lying, hiding public records, doing all these things. If you're a public servant, a servant of the people of Connecticut and not serving just your party's needs, you're going to say, this is wrong. We have to defend it. And we're going to do, because we're lawyers, that's our job. But he should be mad about that. He shouldn't be defending the public benefits strike. And he's the official kicker of the utilities all the time. Hey, there's the dog. Duk. You know, it's attorney general. And honestly, we have to have a reckoning with all these things. And we have to have, Dan O'Keefe had a very good speech like a week ago. He gave some pretty concrete policy recommendations of how do you structurally fix the problem, the structural problem, why your supply rates are so high, why they have all this outrage fuel to drop in like, oh, politicians, rates are high. It's not the utilities. It's the structure. We are deregulated market at wholesale. Fix that, you might have a problem. Now, don't fix it by proposing, oh, let's have a new state agency to create the prices. We don't need that. You need proper tested market functions, and we need some. The governor ought to be having a commission of smart people on it. I've said this before. Bring in some really smart people. Keep your partisans. Keep your League of Conservation voters. But bring the utilities in. Bring people that don't agree with all those things in. And have the round table. Kick it out. Figure it out for Connecticut. That's how we get to affordable.
We're chatting with Bryson Hall, Deputy Northeast Director for Consumer Energy Alliance. And I like to talk to Bryson about everything energy related in our state. And let's talk about PURA. Marissa Gillette stepped down as chairwoman of PURA. It feels like weeks ago, and yet she's still front page news in Connecticut. And I wasn't sure. Why are you looking at your watch?
No, I was just looking to see like how long it's been.
How long? Yeah, like a minute.
October 18th, I think.
Right.
When she was.
It's been over a month.
Walked the plank.
Correct. But I still am seeing her. I'm seeing her face everywhere. Now there are questions about did Governor Lamont know about what was going on and just felt like it wasn't his place to intercede or say anything. What has been kind of your take on that?
So that, I think his answer there was pretty good because he's like, look, it's an independent agency. It's not like other agencies. They are sort of administrative law judges. But this figures into the reason why Marissa Gillette is still in the headlines and still costing Connecticut's people money. So she resigns under pressure, like Richard Nixon, like facing impeachment, and she's out. And then everybody, there's the chorus of, oh, she was the best regulator, which is from the Energy and Policy Institute, a bunch of dark money group. It's like, she's probably the best. Are you people on this planet? Are you even like, what dope are you on? So that happens. She leaves within like maybe a week. She puts an article, a very glowing profile of how great she was and all the great work she did in Connecticut. It doesn't even mention you're a lawyer who lied under oath, you hid public records, and you ran out under facing impeachment. So it's this perfect thing. Within seconds, utilities in their lawsuit that are seeking to uncover bias, which I think is pretty prima facie on the face, right, of this, they file a motion. So now, because of that and because Senator Needleman and Representative Steinberg of Westport do not want to have their role in this opinion article that apparently they were the authors of, but it kind of felt like Marissa Gillette to most people that read it. We're expending state dollars to defend that lawsuit.
Wait, right now?
Right now. That's happening in court in New Britain right now. There was a hearing just last week. So she's continuing to spend money. Then on top of that, she goes and joins the American Economic Liberties Project, which is designed to fight monopolies, including regulated utility monopolies. So if you look back at the behavior, the decisions, this would look like somebody who perhaps was against the utility monopoly model, therefore an activist in an impartial judge's role. So my theory has always been, and I've seen this, you see this with environmental groups. They bring in people who are a ringer. They come to a small state where a lot of folks aren't sophisticated about the issues. They bring in someone that they praise her. You know, they have their little chorus of people like the Ridiculous Energy and Policy Institute praising them to the heavens. This person comes in, probably the best regulator. She wasn't a regulator before she got here. She ran programs for Maryland, not a regulator making judges. So basically, Marissa Gillette was an experiment conducted on the people of Connecticut. And the governor kind of bought into some of it. And to his credit, he said, listen, things are great. He's given us a new slate of people at PURA who I think that's a fresh start.
Mm-hmm.
He's said the right words about utilities and PURA collaborating, but holding each other to account. Good. But you gotta get to the bottom of what happened with Marissa Gillette. And she is proof, just like Nixon, that like the cover-up is worse than the crime. Because we're starting to see all this stuff come out. It's going to keep coming out. I bet you dollars to donuts, you do a public records request, you're going to see that she was communicating with the American Economic Liberties Project. Those are not
so
for you.
So you feel like it is worth the state dollars to be digging into this? Or no, it's just more of sounding the alarm, the fact that even though she's gone, she's still very relevant and actually costing the
state
money.
All the state people that are involved are elected representatives, Senator Needleman, Senator Steinberg. They could come clean and tell the truth as opposed to lawyering up and spending all this time saying, no, we wrote that op-ed. And actually, they never said they wrote it. They said, it's our name on it. Very lawyerly. Kind of like I didn't have sexual relations with that woman like Bill Clinton, right? Same kind of deal. So stop. Just come and tell the truth. Truth and reconciliation. Tell the truth. Move on. And I found it very hilarious that Representative Steinberg was like, people should just move on. That would be nice for you, wouldn't it, sir? When you guys were busy in this, you know, sort of cult of personality around Marissa Gillette. And just, she could do no wrong and you guys were blinded by it. And wasted a whole legislative session with that nonsense.
Well, and the other concern that I have with this, again, we've got Bryson Hull here talking about PURA, is that I feel like, again, not that we shouldn't uncover the truth. We're journalists, so I appreciate that, obviously. But I think that it really puts such a, and we should have a pressure on PURA, but I do think that it almost overshadows what is this hopefully new beginning for PURA. And also kind of this over-reliance on PURA instead of, like you had mentioned earlier, actually bringing utilities to the table, actually having roundtable discussions, actually creating what would be better policy for Connecticut. I feel like there is so much noise. And so to your point, we need to know and we need to uncover it. We need to not make the same mistakes again. But it does worry me that we have such a focus on Marissa Gillette and all the garbage I think that has followed. That we, you know, I don't know what that's going to mean for the new PURA board.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think, I mean, they have to work extra hard. But I think it's working extra hard is just doing your job and not getting outside your lanes and becoming an activist. The interview she gave was like, I don't think I'm an umpire calling ball and strikes. That's the very definition of your job, ma'am. And if you're the world's greatest regulator, you'd know that. But here's what's going to happen to Connecticut. Last year, they wasted the legislative session doing basically nothing for the state people of the state of Connecticut. Why not? Governor Lamont, I'm calling on Governor Lamont. Pull together a blue ribbon panel of people from all sides, not just your usual suspects from deep, you know, the environmental groups that show up at the legislature that are all, frankly, wealthy old white people. Bring in everybody, both sides, all sides, have a discussion, get down to business, make some structural reforms, be serious, serve the people of the state. Then PURA can do its job. Then no one's going to have to hear about PURA again. And also get to the bottom of what happened, because basically the state of Connecticut got conned. Marissa Gillette did it. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of people that has tainted. And unfortunately, they're not going to be very strong to speak forward on this. I don't know why anybody's listening to certain people that were the greatest fanboys of this fangirl. So,
well, Bryson Hull, we always appreciate having the commentary. And we certainly are going to see, like I said, it'll be interesting to see once the legislative session happens between now and then, if there is any movement from Governor Lamont to, for example, create a blue ribbon, I don't know, a group. Like, to me, that logically makes sense. And we see it happen for other facets of government all the time. And I should say other, you know, I think important matters to Connecticut. So I don't think it's a big ask.
Not a big ask.
I think it's a pretty logical thing to ask for.
We saw this in the elections, the off-year elections in New Jersey and Virginia. Affordability, of which energy is a massive fundamental component, is an issue. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tackle this and have something for your third-term run that's serious? Go into the people with clean hands and say, all right, we messed up. We wasted a whole lot of time. That's over. We're serious. Let's get this done. That's the Connecticut way, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Bryson Hall, I always appreciate you being here. Thank you so much, and I'm sure we'll talk again very soon.
Can't wait.